We come to the end of our journey through the book of Hebrews. Turn to chapter 13, if you would. We're going to look at two verses today as we end our time in this wonderful part of God's Word, where the author pronounces a benediction. And it seems that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is the end of God's instruction for this time. Now pray a blessing upon the people who will read it. It seems that the Holy Spirit's purpose is that in speaking this benediction and this blessing, God is saying that the people who will read it will be helped by it. So obviously, this benediction is more than nice words used to end a letter. It is powerfully spoken blessing. It is meant to bestow God's favor upon their lives, to enable them to do what they've heard from God that they are to do in the book when they read, or this letter when they receive it. Now, I want us this morning to see how relevant this prayer of blessing was, and we'll read it here in a moment, how relevant this prayer of blessing was to the needs of those being prayed for. Now, remember the purpose of the book. Many of the Jewish believers, really spread out in many places, not in one particular place, had come under great persecution because of their faith in Christ, especially from non-believing Jews. They had been tempted to return to the old covenant ways. Remember, they had no New Testament yet. They have no New Testament scriptures, but they have word of mouth, things that are being passed on from the apostles and so on. But so here they are, and they're struggling under this persecution, and they're tempted to go back to the old covenant, and especially back to temple worship, as a means perhaps of stopping this persecution. And so the author of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit through him, sets forth the superiority of Jesus Christ's person and work in establishing the new covenant and encourage them to endure and to go on with Christ. Don't shrink back, but keep going with Jesus. And he warns them of the consequences if they fail to do so. And we've looked at all of that as we've gone through this book. This is message number 40 in our series in the book of Hebrews. It has been a rich and intriguing and eye-opening and, I trust, edifying journey for sure for me, and I trust for you as well. Now, having given them all this instruction and encouragement, he prays this blessing. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I want you to notice there are three aspects of this blessing, and actually these same three aspects are going to be in any biblical blessing that is bestowed. First of all, he speaks of the one who will do the blessing. He is the God of peace. That is, he has the ability to give internal rest in the midst of external stress. Do you think the people who read this letter at the time, did they need this? Yes, they did. The God of peace. He's also introduced as and spoken of as the one who has established a new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. What's he doing here? He's reminding them again of what this whole book's been about. The blood of Jesus Christ has established this new covenant. Then he speaks the actual blessing. Notice it with me. He says that this God of peace make you complete. Notice the wording. That God will make you complete completely equipped in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. So what is this blessing about? This blessing is the author of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, speaking a blessing upon the people, and this blessing is intended to enable them to do what they've just heard they're supposed to do. Are you with me? This is the blessing that he gives. And then the third part of the blessing is he speaks that the blessing is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a blessing of enablement. Now, Those who read and receive it back then were blessed. You believe they were? They were blessed by this. But so can we. We can be blessed by this prayer, this benediction that is here in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, we're going to see as we go through this message today, we're talking all about praying blessings on others. But I also want us to realize we can bless ourselves. That's right. We can bless ourselves by praying these things for ourselves. We could personalize this benediction and any scriptural promise and personalize it to our own lives. That is a fantastic thing to do. And notice that after he pronounces this benediction, this blessing of enablement, he says in the very next verse, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." In other words, he's saying, pay attention to what I just wrote you, the whole thing. Pay attention to it and follow it, having blessed them that God would enable them to do so. So what I want us to talk about for the rest of our time together here this morning is the fact that you and I have the same awesome privilege today to pray blessings upon others and to receive prayers of blessings from others. Now, we all believe that this is the Word of God. Amen? This book is from God. It's full of promises. Now, I can take a promise from God, and I, in my own private prayers, I can pray that blessing and that promise for my wife, for my grandchildren, or for you. So I can do that. A second thing that I could do is I could actually approach Sue with a verse of Scripture and share it with her, and by sharing and speaking it to her, that could bless her. But what we're talking about today is when I say, "May I pray for you, dear?" And she says, "Yes." And I pray the Scripture over her, and I bless her with it. Now, there's something powerful about all three of these things. When I pray for you and you pray for me, there's power in that. When I speak the Word of God to you and you speak the Word of God to one another and so on, there's power there. But this third thing is something perhaps we rarely do, and yet it is in the Word of God, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. And that is, we can actually pray, take that verse of Scripture, and pray it as a blessing on another person. And let us consider that. And God wants us to understand how significant this is. We, as the writer of Hebrews did, we call upon God to bestow the blessing in Jesus' name. Such prayers of blessing can be proclaimed, that's a good word, proclaimed over our families, our churches, cities, and even our nation. As James Gall says, we are to become an ambassador of blessing. Well, let's define what a blessing is. First of all, the English dictionary says a prayer or solemn wish imploring happiness upon another, or a benediction. Again, author James Gall gives us the following definition, and I think it's a good one. A blessing is a word spoken for good that carries spiritual power and authority, and that sets in motion something that can go on from generation to generation. This is the power of blessing. For example, God himself pronounced a blessing upon Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. God said to him, And by the way, when God says he's going to do something, he'll do it. Amen? And when God says he'll do something, he has the power to do it. He said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation. And I will," what? "Bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Did you know that the reason God blesses us is so that we might be a blessing? Amen. He says, "I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse." "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, this powerful Abrahamic blessing was passed on from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, and on it goes. And it is still operating today. Am I right? Amen. This is just as true today as it ever has been. So God is the author of all blessing. And he speaks them in times directly to people. I believe that when we read the Bible, if it is applicable to us, and most of the time it is, God can bless us directly through His Word by His Spirit, and He can speak into our life. That's powerful. That's very powerful. How are blessings received? I think that in some sense, when we pray a blessing over someone, whether they believe it or not, it can affect them. But I believe that the fullest extent of the blessing being powerfully active in another person's life is when they hear it, receive it, believe it, and so on. For example, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that. I love that. Let's read that again. And all of these blessings shall overcome you, chase you down, and overtake you. Anybody else find that interesting? Because, why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So when you pray a blessing over someone, it impacts them. But if they receive it, it'll impact them even more. But there is power. It is as if God's favor and power for whatever the need might be comes on that person because they have been blessed through prayer. Well, let's talk about the various ways blessings can be proclaimed. First of all, consider with me the whole idea of corporate blessings. Corporate blessings can be prayed over a group of people, such as a congregation or a nation. Consider with me the priestly prayer upon the nation of Israel that we're all, probably many of us, are very familiar with. It is taken from Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, they were the priests, right? Right? Tell them, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And then He says, so they will put My name on the Israelites and I will bless them. So the priestly blessing was proclaimed upon the whole nation of people. And yes, they must receive it and believe it, but there was a powerful blessing. Why did God tell the priest to do this? Just like it says, it's a nice way to end a letter, put a benediction in there. No, this is a powerful statement from God. And when it was pronounced, there was power in it upon the people. Consider with me another interesting way that blessings can be spoken prophetically, a prophetic blessing. That is, being led by the Spirit to pray a certain blessing upon a person or group without knowing their need. Now, this is a very powerful thing that can happen. You know, we've been talking for years here about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we want Him to be free to operate and distribute His gifts. Are we still in that frame of mind? I hope so. And this is one thing the Spirit can do. He can lead you to pray for someone, a particular blessing, a verse of Scripture, and you don't know why, but you just pray for them. I mean, with them. And it's exactly what they needed to hear. What if you had a need? Let's just say that you were struggling with fear. You're very fearful about something. And God would lead someone and bring to their mind Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And they've learned how to pray blessings. And they pray something like this. May I pray for you, Dan? They'll say, I'm the one that's fearful. Well, yeah, I could use a prayer of blessing. And they say, Dan, I pray that you will not worry about the things in your life and that the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. You think that would affect me pretty deeply if I needed to hear that? You say, do you actually think God can give prayers of blessings? Now, you could speak that to me. Dan, have you heard of Philippians? And you could read it to me. But what we're talking about today is actually blessing someone in prayer using that verse of Scripture. Are you getting this? More than two or three? Are we getting this? Okay. And before we leave today, I have a very simple blessing I want you to pray with somebody, and they're going to pray it over you. Be prepared. It's going to be fun. Under prophetic blessings, I thought of Numbers chapter 23, where you'll remember that the king who hated Israel wanted the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. And so he asked him to come, and now I want you to do this. And the prophet said, well, really, I really can't do anything unless God lets me. I can only say what he tells me to say. But he got up, and his intention was to curse Israel. But here's what came out of his mouth. Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Now, what did he mean by all of that? That God had promised to bless his people, right? Okay. And then the prophet says, I have received a command to bless. He, God, has blessed, and I cannot change it. Now, this prophet didn't even want to say this. But when he spoke, the Holy Spirit gave him these words rather than a curse. It's an example of how the Spirit of God can give us something to say or to pray, even though we may not know fully why. If you've never had an experience like that, don't worry about it, but be open to the leading of the Lord. Now, all of us have probably had this. Somebody comes to our mind that we need to pray for. How many of you have ever had that? Somebody comes to your mind, I need to pray for them. You know who brought that to your mind? The Holy Spirit. Maybe along with that, a particular verse of Scripture might come to your mind to use as a prayer for them. Has that ever happened for you? Not as many, but a few of you. And so then you pray for them from a distance, and there's power there. But we're taking it a next step today to actually pray in the presence of a person and bless them, even as we find in Scripture. Here's another example, scriptural blessings. Now, prophetic blessings are being led by the Spirit to pray a certain blessing upon a person without knowing their need. Scriptural blessings are being led by the Spirit to pray a certain blessing upon a person or group when you know their need. Now, we can all identify with this one, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Isn't this what happened in Hebrews 13, 20? Yes. Hebrews 13 and 21, 20 and 21 is an example of this very thing. The author of Hebrews, guided by the Holy Spirit, prayed a blessing upon those to whom the letter was written, and it fit perfectly with what they needed. That God would make them completely equipped in every good work to do His will. That God would work in them what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Therefore, if we want to mature as Christians, if we want to enter into this sphere of blessing people, we have to learn how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive about the needs of others so that we can pray for them privately, but perhaps even begin to pray blessings upon them as well. Now, there are many promises in God's Word, so many promises that we know to be God's will for all of us. Isn't that true? There are a lot of promises. You don't have to wonder, could I pray that for someone? We know we can pray it for someone because we know it's God's will. My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Could you turn that into a prayer blessing for anybody? Yes. And on it goes. This is fun. Now listen carefully, because God wants us to understand that we can take a verse of Scripture and we can personalize it and pray it for ourselves, and then we can learn to pray it for others. And then we could even take it a step further when directed by God and pray it over someone. Let me give you an example. Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, for several years now, I have been praying this prayer. The reason I'm praying this prayer is because I know sometimes I'm not as loving as I need to be. I know that sometimes I can get irritated with people, and instead of praying for them, I can just be irritated with them. I might push them away, or I'm capable of all that. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a lover of people. And it doesn't come naturally to any of us to love. Oh, we can love people who love us back. That's pretty easy. How do I love people that maybe I don't want to love? Well, you can pray this verse. Listen to what it says again, that the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So here's what I've been praying. Lord God, I pray that Your love will be poured out in my heart through the Holy Spirit. I pray it often. And I want you to know something. I really do believe that there's a greater sensitivity. Look, I've got a long way to go. But I sense that at times when I shouldn't have love, there it comes. That's the Spirit of God. Does anybody here need this verse? Then personalize and pray it for yourself. Lord God, I pray you would bless me by pouring out your love in my heart through the Holy Spirit. And just keep praying it as long as you need to. And God will begin to change your heart if you want him to. But you could also turn this around and make it a prayer for someone else. It very simply would go like this. Sue, may the love of God be poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's a blessing. You could pray over your son or your daughter. You could pray over your family. You could pray for anyone, this prayer, because God wants his love. And what if you pray it over someone and you know they need to hear it and you're ministering to them in that way? One of the places that we can find all kinds of scriptural ways to pray is the prayers that are in the Bible. For example, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And I refer to this passage continually in my prayer time. And let me read it to you again. Paul is speaking to the Christians at Ephesus. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's aspect one of a blessing. What? Referring to the blesser, God, right? Then he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being personal, isn't he? I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's a lot. Listen, that thing is packed full of blessings. That prayer, you could take any aspect of it, and as you need it, pray it over yourself. And as you know others who need it, pray for them privately. And maybe God will help us to mature enough to start praying it with people and bless them. For example, and you can paraphrase God's word carefully, and it's okay. If you want to do it word for word, that's fine. It's probably better, actually. But how about this? I pray that God will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pulled that right out of this prayer, and I could pray it to my wife, for my wife. I could pray it for myself. I can pray it for my grandkids, and I do. But now God is stirring me today to really take this to another level, and I'm sharing it with you, admitting that I have ways to go here. But I'm excited about this prospect, Ray, of actually learning how to bless people with scriptural prayers, praying blessings over people. How about this one? I pray that God will enable you to know how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. And I like it. I shorten it. I say it this way. I pray that God will cause you to know the deep, deep love of Jesus and be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, that is a scriptural prayer that I know I can pray for any of you and over any of you. And God hears our prayers and the blessing is bestowed. And then there's family blessings. Let's talk about this. Jacob blessed his grandchildren, Joseph's two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, in Genesis 48. He hears that his father is sick, ill. So he brings his two children that his father may bless his children. And so he brings them, and Jacob says, bring them to me so I may bless them. And here's what he prayed over his grandchildren. May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. and may they increase greatly on the earth. And they sure did. I believe these two boys were old enough to hear and understand what was being prayed. How do you think that impacted them to hear their grandfather pray that over them? This happened all through the Old Testament. Fathers would bless their children, especially if they knew their life was maybe close to ending, but it's all through the Old Testament. We find later how Jacob prayed over his children prophetically, which is in the next chapter or two there in Genesis. Now, when it comes to family blessing, listen very carefully. This is so important. I want us to consider how many individuals and families are cursed instead of blessed. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, first of all, let me say this. I'll explain in a moment, but a curse in the Bible is simply what comes upon us because we're not following God. Deuteronomy 28, which I referred to earlier, God said, if you do all these things, I will bless you here. I will bless your fields. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. If you don't obey me, I will curse you. That simply means that you don't get the benefit of the blessing when you refuse to obey God. And so the blessings come when we not only are prayed for and not only know what the blessing is, but we receive it and we obey it, as I said earlier. Consider with me generational curses. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about what the Bible says. In Exodus chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments. We've looked at this many times. And God, in the midst of giving the third or fourth commandment, says something like this: and I will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. But, he went on to say, I will bless them who love me and obey my commandments. What is God talking about? He is simply telling us that if there is a sin pattern in a family, if someone doesn't repent of it, that tendency is passed on from generation to generation. I'm calling it a generational curse. You could call it whatever you want to. But you are living, listen, there are many families living not under the blessing of God, but under that same curse because that sin is continuing. Now, I want to give you a phrase. I think it was already on the screen, but it says this: the power of the blessing is greater than the power of the curse. Let me say it again. The power of the blessing is greater than the power of the curse. Meaning, instead of just agonizing over the sin pattern and, yes, confessing and repenting of it, very important, but in addition to that, pray God's blessings that counteract that sin pattern. So we can pray blessings upon our family. God told me several years ago that His desire for us, and I'm sure it may be for many others, but He spoke it into my heart, He is going to deliver us from long-standing sin issues and wrong ways of thinking. I submit to you, this is probably going to be a message in the series I'm going to start probably next Sunday, which is about revival. I haven't come up with a theme yet, but how many of us are still being influenced negatively by sin patterns of the past that are now in our lives? And wrong ways of thinking still fill our minds. God wants to break that. He wants to deliver us and our families from these things. And one of the ways we do this is by recognizing what those sin patterns are. And then we begin to search the Scriptures. And we find, God says here about this. For example, if there's a lust problem in your past, there's been lots of infidelity in your family history, you may want to pray a lot of prayers of a blessing of purity over your family, you see. Or if it's addictions and struggles with drugs and alcohol, pray blessings of being delivered from these things, you see. So we fight this. We don't just give in to it, you see. And God is able to deliver us. Amen? Consider another aspect of this. I think of how many children who are now adults, and children today who are going to grow up to be adults, of course, who the curse of negative, cruel, abusive words have been heaped upon them. And I think of people in this kind of situation who are now adults. Maybe I'm speaking to some here today, and you still struggle with your self-worth. You still are haunted by your past. You still can't free up your mind to quit thinking about some things. My God can deliver you. My God can deliver us all. And so we counteract these kinds of things with scriptural prayers that have to do with our significance and our worth before God. Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Matter of fact, let me give you another one. It's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, or verse 10, I believe it is. Here's what it says. The scripture says, for we are God's masterpiece. We read this on Dawson Day, applying it to Dawson's life. But listen, it can be applied to your life. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. How might that translate into a prayer blessing? You could pray this over your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter. You could pray it over yourself. I pray that God will cause you to know that you are His masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, to do good things that He has planned for you. You say, what's involved in this? You are praying the power of God, the favor of God, upon another person. And there's power in this. Otherwise, the Bible would not tell us to do so. I want our families to be places of worship. I want our families to be a place filled with the love and grace of God. I want for you that you and your family would know God's fullest blessings. And whatever may have happened in your past or whatever the enemy wants to do and has been doing, we can kick him out of our families. He has no right. We'll always have temptation. We'll always have a fight. But he has no right to continually harass God's people. He doesn't have that right. Quit giving it to him. Take it away in Jesus' name. There's so much potential in this room. Every believer here has the Holy Spirit. And if we were to enter into the freedom of Christ, if we were to indeed be filled with all the fullness of God, that's not a pipe dream. That's just a promise from God for every single person in this room. And we can begin to pray the blessings of God upon our families, our children, and our grandchildren. In closing today, I often ask you in the earlier part of the service to greet one another, right? And we do that almost every week. Now what I'd like to do as we close our service, I want you to pray a blessing over someone near you. Now I've chosen a blessing for us that is very simple, very, very simple. It's the Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 verse. And here is how it would go. I put my name on there because I need the blessing, amen. But so you might pray for me. Dan, I pray that the love of God will be poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, do we believe this, folks? I said, do we believe this? All right, we believe it. God will do this if we ask. So that's what you're going to pray for, whoever the name is. So think about somebody. It could be your husband or wife or another person. If there's anybody left out, I could meet with you. Now, I don't want to put anybody in a bad place or anything like that. If for some reason you don't want to do this, you don't have to. But my task as a pastor is to help you grow. And the only way you can grow is to step out of your comfort zone and do something you normally wouldn't do. So I challenge you in that way, but I hope that you will participate. So we're about ready to close our service, And here's what I want us to do. Find somebody right now, please. Just get up and find somebody. I want you to do the standing up. That way people who need to move around can do that. You can step out in the aisle. You can do whatever you want. Find someone you're going to pray over. Now, what you might want to do, the first person who's going to pray the blessing, if you're not sure you can remember it, then their back will be to the screen, and you can look at the screen, and you can pray that prayer over them. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? You got that? And then you just switch, and then the other person can see it. But folks, this is not just saying rote words. This is praying the word of God in a blessing over a brother or sister in Christ. So that's what I want us to do. Then when the person prays that, you might simply say, I receive that blessing. And now I would like to pray for you. And you just turn it around and do that. Are you ready? So we're just going to be quiet for about 2 minutes. This won't take more than 30 seconds or 40 seconds for you to pray it. All I want you to do is pray this prayer of blessing over that person that you're with. Go right ahead. Whoever goes first, and then reverse it. God bless you. My God, come and bless these people as they're praying. Oh, may the Holy Spirit come and fill every heart with your love. May there be a powerful expression of the outpouring of your Spirit even now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you're finished, hugs are permissible. Handshakes are permissible. You may be seated. Some people are still praying, so we'll wait. God wants us to be ambassadors of blessing. Are you hearing this? How about your neighbor? Could God just put it on your heart to go pray a blessing over your neighbor? God could put it on your heart to go, and I don't mean just knock on the door and say, okay, I want to pray a blessing over you. I mean, you could do that. But in the conversation, you say, I just wonder, could I quickly pray and bless you with a prayer? Most people say, sure. The waitress that waits on you, how long would it take? Could I? And we're going to try to start doing it this way. We're going to pray, could I just, in 30 seconds, could I pray a blessing over you? And then just pray the prayer, whatever it is that you're ready to pray. And that's all. You don't have to get into a long conversation and say, are you ready to repent? You don't have to do any of that. Just bless people with prayer. This is powerful, isn't it? And now we close the service. I want to bless this congregation with the benediction that we just read. And so, I'm sorry, let's stand again and let me bless you as we close. Open your heart and your mind as we hear the word of God. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It is such a privilege to share the Word of God with you by way of this CD. May I ask, what did the Lord say to you today? Because He's always talking to us through His Word. And I guess a more important question is, what will your response be? First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son into our world to save us. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sin. 1 John 5:11-13 is such a great passage to sort of put all this together. It says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, the Bible's very clear here. He does not say he who has religion has life. It does not say he who does the best he can has life. But rather, it says he who has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, has life. The biblical definition of a Christian, then, is someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and by that invitation of faith, they are born again. This is the definition of a believer, a follower of Christ. He goes on to say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise. This assurance that we can know that we, present tense, right now, possess eternal life is such a great gift from our God. So, if you've not made that all-important decision to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do it even now. Just pray and ask Him that He might come into your life, forgive your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life. Next, allow me to encourage you to take the steps to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do to grow spiritually, but just let me share three or four. First of all, read your Bible. Take a time every day to open its pages and read. This is the very Word of God, His revelation to you, and you will grow spiritually when you read the message of Scripture and take it into your heart. Along with that, number two is to spend time in prayer. Prayer is talking to God, expressing your heart to Him, asking Him questions. You can ask Him anything. This wonderful privilege of conversing with God is now your privilege because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Thirdly, be faithful to the services of the local church. Oh, it is so important to be in fellowship with other believers and to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so as you do this on a regular basis, God will help you to grow. The Holy Spirit is now in you, and He will guide you in all things. Lastly, tell others about your faith. Don't keep it to yourself. But as God gives opportunity, let others know that Jesus is now your Savior, and you have chosen to walk with Him. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you in your spiritual journey, please let me know. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.